I want you to open your Bibles with me this evening in 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, commencing to read at verse number 7. Can I thank your minister for the invitation, first of all, to come and share with you in this gospel evening service. It's a joy and a privilege for me to be here, have the opportunity of opening God's Word with you. And I pray that the Lord will bless and continue to bless. I have very happy memories. Certainly unique memories of this place many, many years ago. And the pages of that story, I suppose, will be written someday, certainly recorded in heaven. Those that were there at those days, certainly when I was a young fella, and mind you, that's not the day or yesterday, but nevertheless, those were great times, and certainly the people of Kilkeel have a tremendous sense of humor. And we really enjoyed ourselves. You know, Free Presbyterians, some people think, you know, that Free Presbyterians are very dour. Certainly, I can assure you, had you been around in those early days, were anything but it. Those were exciting times, and we had tremendous times of friendship and fellowship together, and certainly the Lord was wonderfully in our midst. We long for days of refreshing and days of revival again, that God would sweep across this land, and we might see a gracious movement of the Holy Ghost. And thank God He's still the same. I believe that. He is the same yesterday, He's the same today and forever. And thank God He never changes. And therefore this unchanging God is a God who is still the God of revival. And we need to pray to that end that God will come and that God will touch our hearts. That we would be ready for that day when God will bring forth and break forth in that mighty revival. Pray to that end and pray expectantly and pray believingly. 1 John chapter 4 verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And every one that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us. And sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love Him because He first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from Him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. And God will add His blessing to the reading of His Word for Jesus' sake. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank and we praise Thee for the privilege of coming to this congregation tonight, this great kingdom of Mourn, to minister Thy precious Word. And we thank Thee for the privilege of preaching Christ. We pray tonight, Lord, that Thou will help us to just uplift Thy lovely name in this place. For Thou hast said in Thy word, I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. And we pray that Christ might indeed be uplifted in this preaching house tonight. And we thank Thee and we praise Thee that through the foolishness of preaching that Thou hast ordained to save them that believe. And tonight, Lord, we're just so thankful that we're gathered here and we have the opportunity of opening Thy word, and we pray You'll bless it to our hearts. And that, Lord, ere we leave this gathering, may we know that God is in this place. May we be so conscious that Thou, the Lord, are in the midst of Your people, dwelling here and gathering here in our very presence tonight. And for where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And so, Lord, give us that liberty and give us that power in the proclamation of Thy truth. For we pray in Jesus' precious and Jesus' lovely name. Amen. Amen. There are three things that we are told in Scripture concerning the nature of God. In the book of John's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 24, it says, God is a spirit. Now, in actual fact, in the original, there is no indefinite article there. And therefore, it is, God is spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. He is spirit in the highest sense, and he is the one that inhabiteth eternity. He is not only all-powerful, omnipotent, he's not only all-knowing, omniscient, but he also is omnipresent. In other words, he fills heaven and earth. And the second thing we find that it says in God's word about his nature, he not only is God spirit, but God is light. It tells us that in 1 John chapter 1, verse number 5. It tells us that God is light. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. In Scripture, darkness gives us a picture of and depicts and speaks to us of sin and speaks to us of evil. It speaks to us of death. But the Bible says that whenever God spake the world into being, the first thing he said was, God said, let there be light. Why? Because God is light. And in him, there is no darkness at all. Now, if darkness speaks to us of sin, speaks to us of evil, speaks to us of death, then light speaks to us of holiness, it speaks to us of goodness, it speaks to us of life, and he is the sum of all excellency. Yes, God is light. The third thing it says in the Scriptures, and we find it here, twice mentioned in 1 John chapter 4, and that's what we're going to look at tonight. It says twice in this passage concerning God, it tells us that God is love. Verse number 8, 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, it says, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And so here we find it makes this very clear, very succinct statement that God is love. And further on down the chapter, it tells us once again that God is love. That's the third thing it says. It's verse number 16, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in him, and love dwelleth in God, and God in him. And it's that thought that I want us to think about, or that concerning the nature of God being love, that I want us to think about this evening. You see, it's not simply that God loves, although that's true. But it goes much further than that. It says God is love. In other words, not only that God loves, but God is love itself. Love is not merely his attribute. You find whenever you study the Scriptures concerning the God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, you'll find the attributes of God. But we're not speaking about an attribute of God, we're talking about the very nature of God. And the very nature of God, God is spirit, God is light, God is love. And whenever we think about that, you know, so many preachers preach about the love of God, and yet they're totally strangers to that love. They know nothing of the love that God has and the love that God is. And we today, whenever we think about God as love, we think it in the sense that somehow it is a mere sentimental emotion that is patterned after human emotions. And yet whenever we think of this statement, God is love, we have got to see that statement is regulated and understood by the revelation of God in his precious word. There are three things I want to say about that fact tonight, about the love of God, and then I want to speak about your love and mine. First of all, I want you to notice that God's love is an everlasting love. Turn back in your Bibles, please, to the book of Jeremiah. And in that Old Testament book, Jeremiah chapter 31, we read these words. It says, The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And so the thought here is, whenever we think about God as love, and we think about the love of God for you and me, friend, we find that God's love for his people is an everlasting love. Now, whenever we think about God's love,
And it being an everlasting love, let us remember this fact, that the love of God is uninfluenced by anything that is in us, because there is nothing whatsoever in the objects of God's love to call it to be exercised towards you and me. There is nothing in you and me, friend, that would make the love of God be exercised towards us. Francis Rowland, Raleigh in our hymn book, wrote a lovely hymn, "I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me, how he left his home in glory for the cross of Calvary. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me." And he goes on and he depicts in that story here, in that lovely hymn, he depicts the story of the prodigal son and the love of God for you and me. But whenever we think about that hymn, it was written in the mid-1800s, and it was presented to Ira Sankey, who was one of the great leaders of the Moody's, a great gospel missions and evangelistic campaigns, and it was given to Sankey as a gift. And so impressed was he that he took this hymn and he published this hymn, and it became a popular hymn of the church about the love of God, this wondrous story of God's love towards you and towards me. You know, whenever we think about love, the love that one creature has for another has got something to do, something in themselves. There's something that attracts that love, the one toward the other. But whenever we think about God's love is absolutely and completely uninfluenced by anything in man himself. Let me tell you, I stand amazed in God's presence tonight, and I wonder that God could ever love me, because when God loved me, there was absolutely and totally and completely nothing in me that made God love me. I was absolutely and completely depraved and debased by my sin. But God loved me. We say we love Him because He first loved us. But there is nothing in us. Just turn our way back to the book of Deuteronomy just for a moment. In Deuteronomy, in the chapter number 7, I want you to think whenever God was speaking concerning the children of Israel, and God was speaking about them and how that God loved them and how that God chose them. But in Deuteronomy chapter 7, it says this in verse 7, "The Lord did not set His love upon you," Deuteronomy 7 verse 7, "The Lord did not set His love upon you nor choose you, because ye were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all the people, but because the Lord loved you." Listen, friend, He loved you because He loved you. There was absolutely nothing in man that made God or influenced the heart of God to love man, because the Word of God says it was while we were yet sinners that Christ died for us. He loved us before there was ever a particle of love in our hearts towards Him. That's the amazing love of God, man. God is love. And that's the amazing grace of God. That God could ever reach down into the pit and lift out poor, lost, guilty, hell-deserving sinners. And God could ever love them in the first place. You know, maybe you think that you're very lovable. Maybe you think there's something in you tonight that just, I mean, God just has a right to love you. I want to tell you, friend, that there's absolutely no truth in that statement whatsoever. There is absolutely nothing in man that made God love man, because man was totally and absolutely depraved. From the crown of his head to the sole of his foot, there was naught but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores that were never bound up, neither were they mollified with ointment, friend. Listen, and absolutely, God says, listen, from the head to toe, we're absolutely, totally depraved, totally sinful, lost and unclean. I remember when I went some years ago, I went to Brazil. And I went to meetings over there in Brazil to see the missionary work in Brazil. And Dr. Bill Woods was one of the surgeons there in one of the leprosy hospitals. And I never forget whenever he took me into the leper colony, and he let me see, because outside Manaus, it was a city there in Brazil, outside the city of Manaus there was a leper colony, and it meant that there were only lepers in it, or families of lepers. And in that leper colony, outside the city, away out there in the bush, there were 7,000 lepers. 7,000 lepers. I'll never forget the first time that I was taken to that place, and they said they wanted to introduce me to one of the pastors, and I never forget it, you know. They would say to me, you know, preacher, they understand if you don't, you know, if you don't greet them, but they love if you do. And I remember going down in through the mud tracks into this leper colony, and we stopped outside this door. A young pastor came out, and I remember Brother Victor Maxwell was in the van, and they knew our brother Victor because he was a missionary there, and they were talking together, and then Victor said, "I want to introduce you to my friend, Mr. McCrae from Northern Ireland." And the wee pastor came around the other side, and his face was absolutely beaming with the love of Christ. And I'll never forget whenever I opened the window, of course, to shake hands with him, he just lifted up his wee club hand, for he was a leper. And I must be honest, I'd just come from one of the hospitals, and one of the American missionaries had been taken home having contracted leprosy. And I looked just for one split second, and I looked at that little club hand, there were not a finger on it. And this wee club hand, and let me tell you, quite often the flesh it deadens, and people think that somehow that there's something special how these little club hand and how there's no fingers there. Quite often then, whenever some of them are lying, whenever their hands are so dead that they will hit things and they don't realize just how hard they're hitting, and it's knocking their flesh and the deadened flesh, and it'll fall off. And sometimes, even when they're sleeping, the mice will come and just eat their flesh, but they don't know it. Leprosy. And I never forget that wee club hand just reaching up to me, and I can still see the wee beaming face of this child of God, this preacher of the Word of God, friend. And one split second I asked myself the question, should I, shouldn't? And then I remembered this, that while I was yet in my sin, totally and absolutely depraved and deformed by my sin, God reached down to where I was, and God lifted me. And I'll never forget, I reached out my hand and I took that dear pastor's hand in mine, and my hand gripped around the little club hand, and the smile on his face that I had greeted him as a brother in Christ. Then let me tell you, God loves me. And the amazing thing about God's love was this: there was absolutely and totally nothing in me that could influence God to love me at all, because I was absolutely and totally in my sin, my back to God, my face to the world. But God is love. And then God says this in Jeremiah. He says, "I have loved thee with an everlasting love." You know, God is eternal. God himself is eternal. He had no beginning, and his love is also from everlasting. In other words, his love, like God, had no beginning. It is everlasting. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the Prince of Preachers, one of his young men that had come through his ministry, had left the college and had gone out to start a work. And a young student became a pastor. And he had built a new church. And at the top of the tower of the new church, he had put a weather vane. And of course, it would show the direction of the weather. And in this weather vane, this young pastor had thought about something different, because in the weather vane, he actually had put these words, "God is love." Spurgeon came to visit him one time, and when he stood there after they opened the church, and noticed, Spurgeon happened to look up, and he happened to notice the weather vane, and he saw those words, "God is love." Spurgeon was somewhat surprised, and he says, "Young man, do you think the love of God is as changeable as the wind? Is that what you believe about God's love? God is love? It just changes with the wind?" "No," said the young man, Mr. Spurgeon. He said, "But the message is that God is love no matter which way the wind blows." And friend, let me tell you, the wind may be blowing, and there may be the blast of the wind and the storms of life around us, but thank God, God will always love me, because he has loved me with an everlasting love. R.L. Moyer put it this way: You can go back beyond the time when a wave beat upon a beach, or a star shone in the sky, or the leaf of a tree fluttered in the breeze, or an angel worshipped before the throne. And when you get back as far as a mind can reach, you will be no nearer the beginning of God's love for you than you are now. For God's love is from everlasting. It is an everlasting love. It was the second thought. God's love is not only an everlasting love, friend, it is an enduring love. If you turn to John's Gospel, chapter 13, it is a good, a wonderful passage of God's Word, and it's coming to the time whenever the Lord Jesus Christ is going to leave His disciples. He's speaking to them. It's a passage when the Lord Jesus washes His disciples' feet and Peter protests. But if you look there in verse number 1 of John's Gospel, chapter 13, it says this: "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew His hour was come, that He should depart out of the world unto the Father, having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them." He loved them unto the end. And God's love is an enduring love. It says that God loved His children. And God says in His Word that He loved them unto the end. In the book of James, it's written of God that with Him there is no variableness, neither is there the shadow of turning. In other words, God's love, friend, God who is love, in Him there is no variableness. There is no shadow of turning. God's love will never change for me. That's an amazing thought to me, that I must confess before God so many times my love for Him changes. And when we come to the last point and we examine our love, friend, let's be honest. How quickly man's love can change, but God's love is an enduring love, because in Him there is no variableness. There is no shadow of turning. And I will never be out of God's love, because God's love can never change. He loved them unto the end. I know there are many great expressions of love in this old world tonight, amidst all the darkness. One of the most amazing loves is the love of a mother for a child. And as a pastor, I've experienced that. I've seen many a mother sitting up, friend, at the side of a child's bed when the fever was upon the child's brow. I've often wondered to myself, how can you stick it night after night whenever others are just weary? That mother would sit beside her child and nurse the child as the fever comes upon that little one. And you know, Kipling said these words: "If I were hanged on the highest tree, I know whose love would follow me. Mother of mine, oh mother of mine." And there are many here tonight, probably everyone, who can say, yes, a mother's love is a blessing. It's a tremendous expression of love. It is the love of a mother or of a father. I think one of the most beautiful pictures of a father's love is the prodigal son, where a father, even when the boy was a great way off, the father saw him. Why did he see him, friend? Because he was looking for him. A boy that had taken everything the father could give him, and yet he turned his back on his father and turned it back on his father's love. And my, he went out and joined himself. I went out into the far country, and there he wasted all that his father had given him. Because you see, after the father gave him his portion, he gathered it all together. He thought of nobody but himself. Oh, we live in such a uncaring and thankless generation. Society today just gathers up for themselves, and they take their journey into the far country, and the boy went into the far country. Friend, he never thought of his father. The only time he thought of his father was in the day whenever he had spent everything and nobody wanted him. And he sat down in an old pig trough and he was feeding himself with a husk of the swine that he ate. And for the first time for years, he thought of home. And he said, "My father's house, the servants are bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger." And he left his father's house and he went out into the world, and he loved the world and he loved the things of the flesh, and he fulfilled the desires of the flesh. He forgot about the father's love. And then when he came to himself, he said, I'll arise and I'll go to my father. And he arose and came, but when he was a great way off, father saw. Listen. The father's love was out of his mind, but listen, the father never stopped loving the son. He loved him all the time. He was in a far country for him. And the reason why, when he was a great way off, the father saw him. Listen, I can see that father, and I see him looking down the dusty pathway day after day and wondering about his wayward son and longing for the day that he'll come home, because he never stopped loving him. Yes, expressions. Yes, the enduring love. Love that was tested. Tested over and over and over again. But praise God, there's something far greater. There's the love of God. And God says he loves us unto the end. Song of Solomon says, many waters cannot quench love. Neither can the floods drown it. Paul, writing in the book of Romans, said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword, nay, and all these things will more than conquer? He says, I'm persuaded that none of these things shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Why? Because God's love is an enduring love. Now the Bible says, can a mother forget her suckling child? You know, the Bible answers that question. It says she may forget. Remember some years ago, a man telling me the story of his sister. And she was a married mother with little children, and she had a happy home, and then one day some man outside of the marriage bond stepped into that family and took her heart away, and that mother walked out on her children. She never contacted to find where they were, but her husband still loved her and her children still loved her, and they longed for mommy to return, but she was enjoying herself in the far country. It was a Sunday afternoon, a beautiful Sunday afternoon, and they husband heard where his wife was, down at a certain place where there was a beach and down by the seaside. And so he decided to make his way. Maybe he would get a glimpse of her. Maybe he could see her one more time. He got the children to the car and they drove to the place, and he stopped the car and he sat there for a little while, and then another car passed by and there he could see his own wife. In that ungodly relationship, just driving past. He saw them pull in by the wayside, and then she got out and said to the little children, now you sit there, Daddy wants to go for a few moments. And Daddy got out of the car and he walked down the street and very came face to face with his wife and her ungodly relationship. And as she saw him, she was somewhat angry by seeing him and thinking he was following her. And she was somehow chiding him for this. And then next thing, the daddy heard the cry of little children standing behind. The children had got out of the car. They'd run down the street. They'd seen their mommy first time for some months. And they ran down and they caught mommy just round the legs. They were crying their little hearts out, saying, mommy, mommy, please come home. Mommy, come home. And that woman just turned from her children as they were just grasping onto her leg for him. And she reached out for the hand of her new found partner. She shook her children off from her legs and she walked away. And the father lifted the little ones in his arm and took them back to the car. Can a mother forget her suckling child? Yes, she may forget. But God loves his children, friend, and let me tell you, God loves them unto the end. It is an enduring love. People stand before the altar today and they take their vows till death do them part, friend, and in a short time it seems to be that the court parts them and it's just all over. But thank God, God's love for me will never be over, because He loves me. Yes, He loved me away back in eternity, away back before God ever formed the earth and the world, friend. Let me tell you, I was in the heart of God. And the Bible says I was chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, before God ever put the world upon its pillars or moved it upon its axis. God thought of me. And God set His love upon me. Oh, I stand amazed at that. Oh, God, why? Why did You ever love me? And He said, I loved you with an everlasting love. I loved you because I loved you. Not because there was anything in you. But He says, I have loved you with an everlasting love from all eternity, friend. But listen, to all eternity, because He loves us right to the end. Now I stand in His presence tonight and I say, Lord, I thank You for Your love. It's an everlasting love. It's an enduring love. Here's a third thought. It's an expressed love. Because when you turn to this passage of God's Word in 1 John chapter 4, it says this. It tells me this in 1 John chapter 4, verse number 10. Here is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sin. Oh, it seems so cheap today. Listen, a young fellow confesses his love today to a young woman. And friend, let me tell you, something happens just like that, and the love is over like that. And that same young man will stand and he'll look into the face of some other young woman and he'll tell her, I love you. Didn't he say he loved that other one? But friend, let me tell you, it's so cheap today to express one's love. But I want to tell you, when it comes to God's love, it says here in this passage of God's Word that God not only loved us, but God sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. In other words, love in Scripture is linked with sacrifice. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave. That He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, speaks about that we may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the depth and or the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ. The breadth of God's love. The height of God's love. It is so high. Listen, you can't get over it. It is so high. It is without comparison. God so loved. How did He love me? He so loved. The love of God is so high that He gave His only begotten Son. The depths of God's love. The depths of God's love. The length of God's love is without condition. Because it says in God's Word, God commended His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, the length of God's love. While I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. Oh, the breadth of God's love. It goes beyond the limits of race and nationality and social standing and personality. Includes the red, the yellow, the black, the white. The Bible tells us, and on that great day, out of every nation, out of every people, out of every tongue, they'll stand before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms with their hands. Oh, the length and the breadth and the height and the depths of the love of God. I sang a hymn tonight, "The Love of God is Greater Far." I was looking at that hymn written by F.M. Lehman. In actual fact, he wrote the first two verses. He couldn't get a final verse. He just couldn't finish the hymn. And somehow the hymn wasn't finishing. He just couldn't get the final verse. And then he remembered that somebody had sent him a card one time. He'd received a card, and it was just the words of the card ringing in his ears. And he searched it out and he found it, and then he read the words in the card and it touched his heart. And the words of the card were the third verse of this hymn. Could we within the ocean fill, and where the skies of parchment made, where every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. And then he noticed at the bottom of the little card in heavier print, it told the story of its origin, because it was found in a prison cell. Written on a prison wall was that verse of that hymn. And Lehman took the words of that hymn. No one knows the circumstances, why it was written or how it was written on the wall, friend. But the truth of those words are there. The love of God for you and me. Oh, I couldn't express it. Many years ago, there was a young soldier who was committed a crime and he was condemned to die. It came the day whenever he was to die was to be hung. And the time of his death was set for the ringing of the curfew, the ringing of the bell in the church. A young woman was engaged to that young soldier and she loved him very much. She tried everything she could to save her young lover's life, but she couldn't do it. In actual fact, she went as far as to go to the old section of the church and she tried to bribe him. But he wouldn't take the bribe. And so the moment came when the bell would be rung and the curfew, that was a sign for the curfew. Whenever the bell would be rung, the young man was dead. The hour of death approached. Preparations were made. The prisoner was brought forth. They waited for the signal, the bell to ring. But there was a surprise, friend, for whenever the bell was to ring, there was no sound of the bell. For that young girl who loved that young man, that young soldier boy so much, she had tried to bribe the sexton, but he wouldn't take it. So the young girl climbed up to the belfry and she wrapped her body around the bell. The old sexton was deaf. He did what he had done so many times before. He would pull the cord. And whenever he would pull the cord and put his weight upon the cord, the tongue would begin to swing and hit against the side of the bell. But the young girl had wrapped her body round the tongue of the bell. And so he would pull it. He swung the girl and just smashed her against the side of the bell, and back again she went. The old deaf sexton thought his work was done because the final cord was pulled. But unknown to him, the bell had never rung. There was a silence. The young girl got herself unwrapped. She was broken. She was bruised. She got herself unwrapped and then she ran as best as she could to the place where the young soldier boy was to die. And whenever she arrived at the spot, Cromwell was standing there and he had demanded to find out why the bell did not ring. And had sent to bring the sexton. The young girl ran to the feet of Cromwell and she threw herself at his feet and she told him about her love for her young soldier boy. She showed him her bruised hands and her torn body. And Cromwell was not a man given to much emotion. But it's said that when he looked upon her face, haggard with the anguish she bore, it touched his heart. And his eyes began to mist with tears, and he said, "Go, your lover lives. Curfew shall not ring tonight." The sacrifice of love, friend. But there's a greater love for that, friend. It's the love of Christ for you and me. And here we are gathered in this church tonight. And when God found us in the pit of our sin. From the head to our foot, covered by iniquity. There was naught of goodness in us. For we were completely and absolutely lost. But God loved me. Tell you what he did for him. God sent his Son to be the propitiation for your sin. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Sinner, as you gather in God's house tonight and you pass by the cross, let me tell you, God loved you. He gave his darling Son to die in your guilty room instead. And yet tonight you trample underfoot the precious blood of Christ and you take the sacrifice of Christ as if it didn't account anything to you. And you're taking your sin and you're going to hell. And you'll die in your sin, and where Christ is, you'd never be. The last thought, everlasting love, enduring love, expressed love, but lastly, examined love. In John chapter 21, the Lord Jesus Christ, he has risen from the dead. He meets his children there by the seaside. Peter says, "I go a-fishing." They say, "We also go with you." They go back to their old life, friend. And they bring the fish. And the Lord Jesus gathers with them there, and then he turns to Peter and he says this. He says, "Peter, lovest thou me more than me?" What was he doing then? What was Jesus doing then when he said that? He was pointing to the fish. Because one day the Lord had called him from the fishing. And God says, "From henceforth I'll make you fishers of men." And the Lord Jesus points to the fish and he says, "Peter, tell me, do you love me more than you love the old life? More than the fish?" And there's someone here. And friend, before God, you've gone back to the old life. And God's examining your heart. And maybe as far as people sitting around you is concerned. Maybe as far as you're concerned, listen, there's no problem. Maybe as far as you're concerned, they don't see what's going on in your heart. But you know you're missing the prayer meeting. You know you're missing the Bible study. You know you miss the services. You haven't the love for Christ that once you had. And you're going back to the old ways. And my, there's a craving in your heart for the old ways. In Revelation chapter 2 it says, "You have left your first love." Have you, friend? Be honest before God tonight. Is there someone here and you have left your first love and you have gone back to the fishing as Peter did? You turned your back on the Lord and you're breaking God's heart. You're living in disobedience. You're walking in disobedience. You're not walking in the light of God's Word. The Savior says to you, as he said to Simon, listen, do you love me more than these? What's the these, friend? It's not the fish. What is it? What's taken your heart tonight? What's taken your heart away from the things of God? What stepped in? What did the hymn writer say? Where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? Where is the soul refreshing view of Jesus and His Word? And be honest tonight, there is not the love for the things of God that once there was in your heart. What stepped in? What's taking the place of the Lord? Listen, seek first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Christ first. Oh, don't let anything else creep in, friend. Don't let anyone else step in and take the place of Christ. Your love examined. Do you love me more? Service is nearly over. Let me ask you one simple question tonight. Tell me, what are you going to do with the love of Christ tonight? Going to yield to it? You're going to bow your heart before God and say, God, I've trampled underfoot your love for many years, and it's not that I don't know the gospel, it's not that I don't know John 3:16, I just don't know Jesus. I know the verses, but I don't know the Savior. You say, will God forgive me? Thank God He will. Will God pardon me? Thank God He will. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin. Will you come to Him? I had the joy of leading a dear lady over 70 years of age to the Lord this week. You know, I had the joy of telling her the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. Over 70 years of sinning. But the blood of Jesus cleanses it all. Away. He'll do the same for you, friend. Just as I am without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Thou knowest the heart of every person in this gathering tonight. Thou knowest those that are Thine, and yet, Lord, they have left their first love. There are things that have stepped in to take their eyes of Thee, Lord, and have wandered away. They've wandered into bypath meadows and have lost the joy of salvation. Lord, we realize tonight we can't lose salvation because Your love for us is an enduring love and an everlasting love. We'll never go out of Thy love or out of Thy care. But, oh God, we are the problem. Help us to be honest tonight. Help us to confess our sin of straying, our sin of prayerlessness, our sin of thanklessness. Oh God, bring the wanderer home. Dear Lord, for the sinner tonight, don't let them go to hell. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, friends, listen. You need Jesus tonight. You need the Lord Jesus. Maybe you know about Him, but you don't know Him. Maybe you know all the verses, friend, you were taught in Sunday school. Maybe the mother's knee. And yet with all the gospel in your ears, you're nearer hell than ever before. For you've never taken a step of faith to Christ. Here you are in Kilkee Free Presbyterian Church tonight and you're lost. For you're still in your sin. Let me tell you, Jesus is the way. He's the truth of his life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. And if there's one in this gathering tonight and God has spoken to your heart, you say, preacher, I'd love to be saved. I'd love to know Jesus as my Savior. If there's some, you say, I've wandered away and I've lost out with God. Oh, preacher, God knows my heart tonight. It's just been showing me. It's been examining my heart. And there's these things that have crept in before him and have left my first love. But I want to come back. Would you do business with God as your head's bowed, friend? If we confess our sins, the Word of God says He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Don't leave God's house without confessing your sin. Don't leave God's house without calling upon the name of the Lord. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh God, I pray in Jesus' name, give the grace to souls this night to call on Thee for pardon, for cleansing, for peace through the blood. We pray in Jesus' name.